Well, shalom, everyone. Here we are again on the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes, it's the Feast of Tabernacles 2011, and my wife's going to blow the trumpet, and here we are on the Ha'etanim 15.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Well, I want to say Chag Sameach to everyone out there. Chag Sameach means happy feast, and this is a feast, and it's a time of rejoicing in the Bible, and it has a lot of significance to the past, the present, and the future. So there's a lot in this, okay? Let me pull up the study real quick, and we'll commence here. There you go. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chag B'Mashiach, Adat Yisrael, which is a little piece of the Israel of God. And it is the Chag Sukkot. There it is, Chag Sukkot. And it's also Chag Ha'asif. Ha'asif means ingathering. And it's the last harvest of the year, symbolic of the coming of the Messiah. Because there's three harvests, which we'll talk about. And we hope everybody understands. Let's ask the Lord to bless this. Would you mind standing? Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we come before your holy throne as priests and kings, Lord and God, washed in your holy blood. It's the only way we can even have access to the Father. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this little study today. Open our hearts and our minds and our souls to understand these things. Reveal to us your word. Take away anything that's corrupt. Be with us today in a special way. Your Ruach, your Holy Spirit, be in the midst of us. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint the people around the world on the internet, on the phone, in right here, and in the future, whoever will listen to this study. I pray you'll make it to the benefit of their soul, to edification of this body, and to the glory of the living God. Heavenly Father, I pray those that are sick and afflicted, you take away all sickness, take away anything that's wrong with us, heal us today in Yeshua's name. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll be with us on this time of joy, the simcha of Yeshua and the Messiah and God the Father. Heavenly Father, you are the King of the universe and beyond. Be with us in a special way in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. God bless everyone. Hallelujah. Yes, I like talking to God like that because it brings him more into focus of who he is. Praise the Lord. Yes, the time of Chag Ha'asif. And today's, it's weird, you know, the world's doing October 14th. Everyone, as we drove here, we see everyone getting prepared to do Halloween. People hanging from trees and witches and ghosts and all kind of weird pumpkin, you know, weirdo stuff. And everyone thinks that's just normal. Last week they did the, you know, the vampire crawl,
zombie
walk, or whatever it's called. It's so new to me. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But there's thousands of people doing it, and they think it's just normal. And here we are. We built a sukkah in the back of our yard, and God says to do it, and everyone thinks that's strange. So you can see, like in the book of Isaiah, it's what's coming to pass. Everything that's evil, they call good, and everything that's good, they call evil. It says that would happen. So it's bizarre. But anyway, today is this day. However, we always remind everybody it's Ha'etanim. It's the 15th of the 7th month of God. Right there in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2. You could prove it yourself. It says Etanim, right? Very important. My ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics in the Bible that's never been discussed or mentioned in your life. These topics have been deleted from your knowledge. You haven't even a clue. Some of these things are missing. Because everything just feels normal. You know, it's really strange if you really examine what you do and what your friends do, and you start really thinking about it like a spiritual forensic detective. You know, you put some thought to it. And you start thinking, wait a second, why am I doing this? Because someone else told me? Or what am I doing in my life? And who am I really following? And then you start, you know, if you start reading the Bible, you start thinking, well, I've been following everybody else. Why don't we give God a chance? Maybe follow him for a change. Because the other guy wants me to follow him. The other guy wants me to do what he wants me to do. They want to, you know, wait a second. Something's wrong here. So I'm here to undelete some of these things for you. For your convenience, all my studies can be viewed at these websites. They're always there. Thank God the service still running back there. And you could read them, you could hear them, or you could watch them. What do you think of that? I made it so available, you can't say, well, I don't like to read. That's fine, then you can listen to it. And then you can say, well, I don't like just to listen, but now you can watch. So, I mean, I don't know what else to do except come and jump through the screen and read it to you, which I can't do yet. Anyway, we would love to come and talk to anyone at any congregation, anywhere. We'll visit anyone. You know, we've been to a jail recently. We're going to go back one of these days. A prison, I should say. People there are not happy. They got caught. It's a very bad prison. But anyway, we go to people's assisted livings, taught at schools, taught at churches, got kicked out of the synagogue. We did all kind of things so far. And, you know, right now I'm witnessing at my business, which is the everyday witnessing deal. But anyway, I would love to come wherever you're at, so give us a call. Just click on the link, and that'll give you the information of what's required. Remember, I just want to bring one more Sabbath into focus. The last day of this feast, the eighth day, is called the last great day, and it's Friday. It starts Thursday night, but it's all day Friday, another Friday and Saturday, so it's coming. And it's October 21st. Everybody has that written down, I hope, by now. And that will conclude our extra four Sabbaths in the seventh month of God. That's the last one. And it's, remember, it starts Thursday evening. Okay? Everybody should know that by now, I hope. If you don't, boy, you missed out. Anyway, there's Chag HaSukkot, Chag HaAsif. And I put the sign on my door, you know, today, because today's Friday, and a lot of people were trying to come to my business, so I said, closed Friday for the Feast of Tabernacles. And I wanted to make sure everybody read John chapter 7, because here we have Yeshua in John, the Gospel of John, keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, and he didn't work either. He went to the temple. So if you believe in Jesus, at least do what he says, or do what he does. But anyway, he got it from Leviticus 23. And we do speak unto the children of Israel. We're all children of Jacob here. And it says, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto you. So we have a feast for 7 days. And you're supposed to be joyful and realize why you're doing this. We're not just building a tent in our backyard, you know. But you have to understand why we're doing this, which I'll talk about today. And once you understand it, it's a little more joyful. And it has a little more meaning. And it does, it's right in the Bible. That's what's so, I hate to use the word cool, but it's right in the Bible. That's what blows my mind about most of the world. And this, I was telling my wife, there are people in the pseudo-Christian world, they say they study the Bible. Well, how come they don't never see these things? But anyway, it says on the first day, which is today, we're going to have a holy convocation. And that's why we're here today, because it's a holy gathering. You should do no civil work. That's Melechet Avodah. We're not doing any work today, you know, as far as getting paid or, you know, we're not doing anything in our house extra, you know, that kind of thing. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. And I hope the Holy Spirit is with us with fire and power, meaning zeal, you know. And on the eighth day is going to be a holy convocation. That's why I just reminded you about the eighth day. The feast is 7 days, but then there's an eighth day put in there, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. It's a solemn assembly, atzeret in Hebrew, atzeret, and that means it's a real holy day to get together, and you're not supposed to do any work also. And the only reason you're not supposed to do any work is because we're supposed to be gathered together, and these days they're going to have more significance in someone's lifetime. You know, when you understand the three harvests, and you understand that he was, and he is, and he is to come, then this will make more sense to you instead of just like we're just getting together because we have nothing to do or something, or building a tent. If you do it without meaning and understanding, yeah, it looks ridiculous. But when you do it with understanding and you follow what the scriptures say, then it has meaning. So that's why it's important to read and study. There's the word solemn assembly. There is atzeret in Hebrew. Assembly, especially on a festival, and this is supposed to be holy day. Okay, it's an assembly, a meeting, and I just read that to you. It says, For some reason, God says this twice in Leviticus 23. He says it again. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of your land, you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. On the first day shall be a Shabbat, a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall, it says, and ye shall take you on the first day, which we did today, we did it today on the first day of the feast. We took boughs of goodly trees, we took branches of palm trees, we took and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And we shall and it says, you shall rejoice before Jehovah your God 7 days. So it's a time of rejoicing. It's a real celebration. And, you know, it's really, I was listening to some of the Judaism things today. It's so crazy. You know, they go bananas with their four species, which is all made up. And they finally get them all together and they make something called a lulav, which is ridiculous. And it's the whole thing is such a joke. It's, where does it say that in the word? And they're dying to go buy their citron, you know, their little lemon. It looks like a giant lemon. And they think whoever's got the biggest one is like really did it. How foolish. And I was watching them teach the children paganism, which is not in the Bible. This whole thing, this four species thing, it's ridiculous. When it says right there, do you need to go to a special school to understand that? Branches of goodly trees, boughs, thick trees. Where does it say all this stuff? But anyway, I'm not going to bore you with some Judaism things, but I'll tell you something a little later which is really going to shock you. It says, and you shall keep it a feast unto Jehovah 7 days in the year. So it's an actual feast for 7 days. It's a statute forever in your generations. We'll be online every day this week, Lord willing, of course. I always say Lord willing. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. It's not New Year, okay? It's the seventh month. And it's not this Rosh Hashanah, which Judaism made up, and Happy New Year stuff. It's the seventh month. Does everybody see that? You shall dwell in booths. We're going to be in our little booth we made 7 days. All that are Israelites born. You might say, well, I'm not an Israelite born. Yes, you are. You're born again into the Israel of God. You have joined the one body. And we're going to dwell in booths. Praise the Lord. It says, and why are we doing that? It says that why do we do that? That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Jehovah your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Jehovah. And I'm declaring it unto you, like I do every year. We've been doing this like for the last 10 years. And I said this myself, and we had another brother say the same thing right now. You would think after 10 years of us doing this, we would have a giant congregation with families and children, and I always wanted like a school for the kids to learn right, and here we are, just a few again, remnant. Hardly anyone makes it. It must be like the time of like Noah. I bet you some people hung out with Noah for like 10 years and fell away. And then maybe somebody else hung out for 20 years and said, get out of here, Noah, it's not going to rain. And then maybe 30 years. Or imagine hanging out with Noah for 40 years and it still didn't rain. You'd probably think Noah was cuckoo, wouldn't you? Might make you want to quit, wouldn't it? Especially when everybody else doesn't want to get on the ark or help build the ark, right? That was actually the first sukkah, right there in Genesis. Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering, which is at the end of the year. Here's the first tabernacle, Genesis 8:4. Guess what? The ark actually rested in the seventh month, Ha'etanim. Seventh month on the 17th day. So right in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, the ark is resting there. Isn't that interesting? And that's the first secure place. Remember God locked them in? He must have been right in there with them. Praise the Lord. The 17th day of the month. It says, seventh month on the 17th day of the month. Because the Feast of Tabernacles is on the 15th, so this is 2 days later, so that it is the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, understand? Okay. So we have three harvests and three feasts. That's really to understand. And what we get out of that is the which is, which was, and which is to come, the three harvests, okay? In other words, which is when he was going to come, and it's the it's was, is to come, right? And we go to John, Revelation. John is to the seven churches, the pro where these scriptures come from. It says, which are in Asia. This is Asia Minor. Today it's modern-day Turkey, full of Arabs. It says, grace unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So there's seven spirits too. And it's said again in verse 8, which is and which was and which is to come. And then, of course, we go to Exodus 23. There's three times I shall keep a feast unto me in the year. So there's only three feasts. Even though the Messianics made up seven feasts, which is ridiculous, there's only three feasts. The rest of them are holy days or holy convocations. And that's another whole story. Because it says right here, thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed, in the month Ha'aviv. It says, for in it thou camest forth out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. We always give God, we bring a gift to God. And then there's the feast of harvest, you know, that is, the first fruits of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field, Chag Shavuot, feast of weeks, okay? And then we have the feast of ingathering, which is right now, which is at the end of the year, it's not New Year, when thou hast gathered in the labors of out of the field. You know, it's so easy to dispute and prove wrong Judaism if you just read the Bible. And you wonder, how in the world, how come nobody just reads their Tanakh and understands this? Three times in the year shall all the males appear before Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah. It also says that in Deuteronomy 16, three times in the year. So we got the Feast of Unleavened Bread, who was, and in the Feast of Weeks, who is, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, who is to come. Isn't that amazing? Unleavened bread is when Yeshua was there. Feast of Weeks is when the Holy Spirit came, who is the same. And then, of course, he's going to come back one day. And that's why we're doing these feasts in the seventh month of God. We actually believe that in someone's lifetime, we're not going to be sitting here, but in someone's lifetime, it's going to be over. In someone's lifetime, just like it was in the times of Noah. Just think, in the time of Noah, there was beautiful days, and Noah was building an ark. He looked cuckoo, you know? And it happened for many years, 100 years. That would make you almost not believe. But guess what? At the end, there was a flood, drowned the world. And that's proven by scientists, archaeologists. They know there was a deluge that covered the face of the earth. Anyway, getting back to the unleavened bread, Chag HaMatzot, that's when Messiah died and rose, the first fruits of your harvest. Remember, he is the first fruits.
That was the barley harvest.
And that's the barley harvest, right? Everybody know that, right? It says Omer, there's the Omer. It says Reshit, Katserchem. And that's what the first fruits are, your first fruits. That's plural. Then we have the Feast of Weeks. Chag Shavuot, and of course, then we have Chag HaKatzir. That's the Feast of Harvest, when the Holy Spirit came, right? So we have barley, then we have the wheat, right? And then we have it right here where Jesus said, if you love me, in John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my mitzvot, the commandments. He says, and I'll pray the Father, that the Father may give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And this is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then he makes it very clear. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So here we have Yeshua saying he is the Holy Spirit, and he is coming to you. And he also is the Father. They're all one. I know it sounds a little complicated. But there it is right there. He said he's going to send the Spirit, the Comforter. Then he says, I will come unto you. I will not leave you comfortless. So then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, Chag Sukkot, which we're doing right now. Sukkot means plural. That's booths. Okay? And it's the Feast of Ingathering. When Messiah comes back, the last gathering. And everyone, I'm sure, read the angel, they put the sickle in, the harvest is ripe. You know, remember those verses? When Messiah comes back, the last gathering, it says in Exodus 34:22, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and feast of ingathering at the year's end, which is the harvest of everything else that's left. And, of course, that does show it's not New Year. But anyway, so there are the three to harvest. There's the barley, the wheat, and then everything else that they grew and needs to be harvested. Okay? And then I wanted to talk a little bit about why the branch. And in Hebrew, it's tzemach. We're talking about that word. There's a lot of words for branches and leaves and all that kind of stuff. But the branch that covers us is the Messiah. And that's why we put branches over our little sukkah, because we want the branch of the, he is the branch, and we want him to sort of cover us. It's symbolic. In other words, we want him to protect us and be with us in our little wilderness called our lifespan. And it does feel like a little lifespan. I mean, it does feel like a little wilderness out here, doesn't it? You may not picture yourself in the actual wilderness, but think of it. In a wilderness way, where is God? Everything else is going on. The devil is, you know, prevalent out there, you know. So we have in Isaiah, it says, in that day shall the branch of Jehovah be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. In Jeremiah, it says, in those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness, and that's tzemach tzedakah, to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. That's the Messiah. So Messiah is the branch. In the book of Zechariah, it says, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. He said, then he says, behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. That is the Messiah. There it is right there. In Hebrew, it's Avdi Tzemach. It says, Zechariah 6, it says, speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh Jehovah Tzavaoth, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of Jehovah. And he is building the temple of Jehovah spiritually. We're having a spiritual house built unto God. And he shall grow up, yes. Look at it says in Hosea. It says, his branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree. And that's why we go out there and we pick the branches and different things. And it says, and his smell as Lebanon. There's a lot of similes in the Bible and metaphors, things like that. But God is compared to so many different things. The branch, the sprout, the root out of the stem of Jesse. You know, and you got to understand all these things. It all has to do with the Messiah. You know, when we do the Feast of Tabernacles, we can relate it to a lot of scriptures. And I was listening to some of the rabbis today. They're so out of it because they have no Messiah. It's really sickening. They quote from something called the Zohar. I don't know if you know what that is. It's from the Kabbalists from the 16th century. And in the Zohar, you know what they actually say? That when they do the Sukkot, that you're supposed to be in your Sukkot, and you're supposed to be praying for spirits of dead people to come and visit you, like Abraham and the seven what they call them, patriots, you know, Moses. And imagine, that's so ridiculous. And they, you know, they use the word Yusfizen, which is Aramaic, or it's not Hebrew, like, but it's the guest, you know. And that's, they pray for, like, every day to have a different spirit of one of the patriots show up. And now in the modern times, they even want the matriots to show up, like Rebecca. And could you imagine talking and praying to the dead and having them come and visit you? Not one time did they ever pray for God to be in the midst of them. They're praying for all these. They actually pray that a spirit of one of them would enter their sukkah. Could you imagine that? And they say it so calm, too. You should hear how calm they say it, like it's normal. Where does it say that in the Word? See how, like, people just make things up and everyone thinks it's okay when we just follow the Bible? We're like Nehemiah. It says right here, it says, and that it says that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So if you just got thick branches of thick trees, that would be fine. There's nothing special about that. And there it is all there. There's all broken down in Hebrew, in case you want to get technical. Okay? There's the olive branches, the pine, the myrtle, and the whole bit. The stuff Judaism makes up, you should see all the things they make up. But I'm not going to bore you with that today, because I used to do that a lot. But it's getting to the point where it's just another god. And they're praying to somebody called Hashem. And that's not our God, because our God is Yehovah. Hashem in Hebrew means the name. They're praying to some name. The Bible says if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. I wish they would snap out of it. And there's got to be some Jew out there in Judaism that's going to say, excuse me, why don't we follow the Tanakh? They don't even do that. Anyway, the Sukkah, another understanding of it is shadows. The Sukkot are shadows of our future homes. And that's another thing. So in other words, like if somebody walks up to you and says, what are you guys doing in a booth? You know, you guys look wacko out there. Say, no, we're remembering that God made our brothers and sisters dwell in booths after he delivered them out of the land of Egypt, and he preserved them, he kept them alive, he was with them in the wilderness. We're doing that right now in memorial of them, but at the same time, we want God to preserve us. We want him to take care of us and our little wilderness out here with no God, and sometimes you feel like you're all alone. And also, we're also doing with the understanding of the future right here. John says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. That's what we want it. We're doing it for. We're doing it for one day we want a tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. And whether you like it or not, you're still going to meet the Lord. And the only problem is he's going to win in the end. So you might as well do what he says. That just makes sense. And your life is better now. You might even live longer. I mean, seriously. Anyway, it says right here, I'll read the whole thing for you. It says, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. Wow. In the book of Isaiah, it says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. That's new. It says, the former shall not be remembered. It's not going to be renewed. It's going to be new. The former is not going to be remembered, nor come into mind. You're not going to be worrying about all your relatives that didn't make it and all your friends that didn't make it, because all the former things are not going to come into your mind. You're going to be in total bliss, happiness. It says in Isaiah 66, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Jehovah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And that's exactly right. And Peter, brother Peter, notice how he didn't make anything up. He read Isaiah too. He says, after this whole place is dissolved, this place is going to, the very elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. This whole place is not going to be here. He says, nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So here we have brother Peter that was with the Lord. He read Isaiah. That's where he got that from, which I just read to you. This is a short study today, but I'm trying to make you understand why you're doing this so you have understanding and some reason why you're doing it. You're not just building some booth, But now you should be able to explain, like somebody walks up to you and says, why are you doing this? You should be able to explain why they did it in the past. We're doing it in memorial because we want God to do the same thing for us, but we're also doing it looking in the future. We want to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity, dwell with him. So it's all about being preserved. It's all about being God with us. And it's all about being with God throughout eternity. That's what it's all about. And that's an understanding in sort of in a nutshell. And it's about the first and second coming of the Messiah. But without any of that, you have to make up stuff like, the citron and who's got the biggest lemon. And we got to talk about the species and wave stuff and they're praying for spirits to come into their sukkah. You got to make up all that stuff. the Kabbalists were the mystical part of Judaism. The Kabbalah and the Zohar and the Tanya are very, very evil, actually. And whoever reads those things, really, you got to just beware. But anyway, it says right here, John says, in the book of Revelation, he says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest." This is the angel. "And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." In other words, he wanted to know, who are these guys with the white raiment? And when did they come from? Who were they? And it says, these guys in the white raiment, they came out of great tribulation. And they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in this temple. And God that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Could you imagine that? That's hard to believe. I always wonder, you know, I know like this is sort of like a strange thing to say, but you know, like after we meet God and everything, which is going to blow our minds for hundreds and millions of gazillions of, if there was such thing as years, but I wonder always what's going to happen after that. You know, God is, I'm sure right now, doing multiple gazillions of things besides this little thing of man called mankind and the history of mankind on the, you know, here, the universe. I'm sure he's got, who knows what else he's doing in other realms that we can't even imagine. We only know a universe, but he's not in the universe. He's out here. He made it. That's quite an amazing thought. And then wherever he's at, he can be doing so many other things that we can't even dream of. But anyway, we're going to be with him, and maybe we'll get a ringside seat to other things that are going on. You know, you got to remember, he's from everlasting to everlasting. So that's a lot of things he must have did that we have no knowledge of. Anyway, Revelation 21 says, and John said the same thing Peter says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Guess what? It's not renewed. You know why? The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. So, I just want to make sure you understand. Could everyone understand now why you're doing this? And you know why now you put the branches over your sukkah? The branch is who?
The Messiah.
Exactly. And we want the branch to cover us. Symbolically, we put the branches over just to cover us and sustain us and to be with us. And to nourish us and take care of us in our lifespan, known as our wilderness. I always think of, like, I know it's hard for people to fathom that this is the wilderness, because, you know, it looks like pretty modern, you know, wherever you live. I'm talking spiritually, it's a wilderness, because where's holiness? Where's God? Where's anybody that's doing anything right? If soon as you go home today, on your way home, look around. You'll see all the little Halloween garbage up. And you wonder, you know, how could that be? Where did those people don't even know where that came from. They just do it like robots. They're brainwashed. Talk about being hypnotized. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just remember the last great day is coming. After we finish today, we still got 7 days. But I mean, I want to make sure I always remind you of these things. It's the last Sabbath of the four Sabbaths that are extra in the Feast of Jehovah on the seventh month. Remember, there's 7 extra Sabbaths. Now, could everyone explain why we're doing the Feast of Tabernacles? If I walked up to you and say, what are you doing there, Joshua? You're building a booth. Well, you and your father, what are you guys up to? You guys losing your mind?
The shadow of tabernacling with the Lord in the future.
Yeah, it's a shadow of tabernacling with the Lord in the future.
It's a commandment.
And it's a commandment. God said it, right. And if you show them in Leviticus, and then you read to them John chapter 7, you say, well, Jesus did it. Don't you believe in Jesus?
Aren't you a Messiah follower?
Right.
It's not done away with.
It's not done away with. Of course not. It couldn't be done away. We're still here. It's the end of the world didn't take place yet. You know, isn't it funny?
That would
like,
be a bad dream.
Yeah. You know, I was telling my wife this morning, that we haven't heard anything lately about the end of the world in 2012. What happened to that whole scenario? That's a joke anyway. The world's not ending in 2000. No, it's 2011 now, right? There was a whole scenario going around that the world's supposed to end in 2012. I don't know if you have you guys heard any of that stuff? Yeah, that's not happening. That's a joke. That's going to come and go, and then we all go, we're still here. and you're still going to meet the Lord one day, you better start reading His Word. Forget about what everybody else... See, everybody believes what everybody else says. Why don't we start doing at least something God says? God never changes either. Just think, God's on your side if you do what He says. God's against you if you're not. So make sure you do what He says. Well, that's the end of my little... It's just a short study today, but I did want you to get something out of this. I prayed... Let's say a prayer and ask God to dismiss us, and then we could talk about anything you want. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise You, Lord and God, for another study. And I hope I didn't speak too fast. And I hope people understand what we were talking about, Lord and God. Bless and anoint the rest of this day and the 7 days and the 8th day coming. I pray that You'll give us more understanding, more wisdom, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. Let us understand, Heavenly Father, that time is running out and You're coming back so soon. And we might go to meet You ahead of time. I pray, Lord and God, You'll just bless the people here, the people on the phone, the people around the world, and the people that are on Pal Talk, and the people that will hear this in the future, that they'll wake up out of their spiritual stupor that they're in and start following the God of Israel and the Messiah, His Word. We give You the praise, Father, in Yeshua's name, and we just thank You for everything You've done for us and everything You're going to do. Bless and anoint the rest of this day in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless everybody, and Chag Sameach, that means happy feast. And does anyone want to ask a question? Is there anything you're not clear on? Is there anything you want to say? Okay, Joshua has a question.
Why is there a need for a new heaven and a new earth?
Okay, well, I only can give you a thought on that. Because the Bible we just read, it says they want to get a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And what I'm thinking by what that says is, my only thing think of this. Because there was a Satan and he polluted the kingdom of heaven at one time, that's never going to happen again. In other words, like Satan and all those angels were cast down, they're in a chains of darkness right now, and heaven is polluted. And the earth, you know, is polluted with sin. That's all going to be burnt away. You know, when you burn things away, it's gone. It purifies. And that's why there's going to be a new... That's why I believe there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. In other words, it's not going to happen again. There isn't going to be no more,
more sin.
There's probably going to be something new. Matter of fact, God says He's going to make everything new. You know what I mean? Like,
there won't be liars there. There won't be liars.
No liars? What's that all about? No liars? Okay, Al wants to say something. Come to the mic, Al. No tears. Okay.
You know, in doing the Feast of Tabernacles, I feel we're connecting with Israel when they first came out of Egypt. They had to dwell in booths, and it you know, you read it in the,
right.
I guess it was Leviticus 23, verse 43, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths.
Right.
When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am Jehovah your God. Boy, we're connecting way back there. Look at that.
Amen, Brother Al. We're doing the exact same thing our brothers and sisters did in the wilderness. And Jehovah sustained them. Did you want to say something? Hold on, my wife wants to say something. Let me get on the mic. Let me get off the mic and go right ahead.
Right, He sustained them. He fed them. He gave them Torah. And also, none of their clothes got old. And, you know, it was amazing.
It's amazing.
When he was with them, he was actually with them. And he's going to be with us again
in the future. And I just thank God for this day and for this feast. Anybody else want to say anything? Okay, I want to make sure you know why you're doing this, and you can answer people if they ask you. And then you should always blend it in with what I'm doing is in the scriptures. Hold on a second. What you're doing is not in the scriptures. Why are you doing what you're doing? Ask them. and ask them if they know where what their little pagan things that they're doing, do you know where it's from? And then you should go research where they're from, and you'll find out, yeah, it's from paganism, from other gods. My mic is, I'm going to close right now. Well, I'm going to close right now, everybody. So I'm going to say Chag Sameach, and we're One of Messiah congregation. God bless you, your Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to be online. We're just going to be here for a little bit, might sing a few songs and talk, and then we'll go home and be in our sukkah. We'll catch you online, and then we can read some more. And, well, right now it's only 2:45, so I don't know.
It might be a couple hours. We're going to put the stuff online.
Yeah, I have to put everything online. Say about, like, say 5 o'clock.
Yeah, watch for us.
We'll be in the sukkah, because about time we leave, we do what we're doing around here, and we talk and stuff like that. And before you know, I know time's going to pass. And then I'll tell everybody online about 5 o'clock. That would be great. Well, anyway, I better stop the recording. God bless you.